Amen. Let's take our Bibles now for our sermon. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Where we'll be reading verses 20 to 28. People of God, hear the word of the Lord. His inspired word, as a blessing to you, as instruction to you, encouragement to you, and for glory to Him. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 28. But now, Christ has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all right. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has feet. But we him, it is under him is accepted. Now, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Let us pray. God, Lord, that you be working in our hearts, to be encouraged, to be convicted of the truth of your word, to be believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his people, to be believing that the last enemy, which is death, will be destroyed, to be living that way even now, with a certain hope of life eternal, that death will be destroyed and be no more. We pray, Lord, that you would work by your Holy Spirit in our lives and our hearts, that we may become more faithful in our belief and more obedient in our practice, that you, Lord, would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. First Corinthians 15 is Paul's, which a lot of First Corinthians is, and a lot of Paul's letters are correcting false doctrine. It is a doctrine of Christian faith without have no hope without salvation, the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his people. If we look back to Corinthians, Paul begins to make clear how resurrection is and is to us related. They are definitely connected, and our resurrection is depending on the resurrection of Christ. So in verses 1, Christ and its power, Christ died and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then in verses 5, from the day of those who had seen the risen Christ, the apostles. And then in verse 8, he speaks as a witness himself that he had seen the risen Christ himself. And in verses 8 to 10, or rather, he does that in verses 8 to 10. And so what that Paul would need to correct this doctrine. What's going on in the church? Well, we see the answer to that. We'll just read it real quick here in verse 12. Now, if Christ from the dead, how do you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And who is the you here? How do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? In other words, Paul is saying, how is it that some of you in the Corinthian church are saying there is no resurrection of the dead? How is that that Paul is going to be correct? 19, Paul statements showing the impact of such In other words, if there is no, this is the problem. And first in verse 13, he says, if there's no resurrection in general, if it's not possible that somebody be raised from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And we could say that from there, everything else just falls to the ground. But Paul goes on to say in verse 14, if Christ and your faith, in other words, if Christ is not risen, we don't have anything to preach about. Because if Christ is not risen, there is no salvation. And if Christ is not risen, then the faith that we are calling you to place in faith, there's nothing there. He also goes on to say in verse 15, if there's no resurrection, then we're false witnesses of God. We are liars and we are preaching falsehood. If there's no resurrection, then those who have already died believing in Christ, they have perished. And by that he means suffered the second death. They have died and gone on to be in hell. And then verse 9, no future life, only a life on earth, then we are of all men most pitiable. Because we're putting our hope in something that is empty and will have no effect. All this talk of the resurrection from the dead is because the enemy of life. Death had to be overcome. And the resurrection is the act that gives that demonstration that death has been overcome. And that resurrection of Jesus Christ is that ultimate act that shows that death has been defeated. People say that the only two sure things in this life are death and taxes, as if death was supposed to be part of the human experience. But it wasn't. Adam and Eve were created to live eternally, to have children and children's children who would live eternally. Death was not part of their creation. It was not part until they fell into sin, and then therefore all their children and their children's children and all humanity fell in their sin with them, and they were under the curse that came with sin that God pronounced upon all those who are sinners. And the curse was just exactly what he said to Adam and Eve: in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Well, here now, in verses 20 to 28, Paul makes the case for the death of death, that death itself will be put to death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and those who are in Christ will see that. They will experience the death of death when death is no more. And so from verses 20 to 28, we're going to see that death was the first enemy. Death was the first enemy. Secondly, death is the last enemy. And thirdly, death will be the forgotten. Verses 27 to 28. So let's first then look at verses 20 to 23, where we see death was the first enemy. In verse 20, we see the words, "but now." Those first words of that verse are showing us that there's about to be an argument made against all those people who said there is no resurrection. He's going to make a case for the resurrection from the dead. And so he states now, but now Christ from the dead. This is one of those truths that skeptics of Christianity strongly oppose, because they just can't believe that someone can die and be resurrected in that same body, resurrected to life. And Paul testimony that this has happened in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now he moves on to declare it to be the truth. In other words, here's the evidence that you can see, that you can read about. The five itself have seen the Lord. And now I'm going to declare to you what it means about the resurrection. So in verse 21, he refers to the first death, saying death came by man. If you were to ask a lot of people, if they had any knowledge of the Bible at all, who is the first person to die in the Bible, they would most likely say it was Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain. But Abel was not the first man to die in the Bible. Adam was the first man to die, and Eve was the first woman to die. Before Cain was ever born, death had already come into human experience through man. Death came to humanity just as soon as Adam ate the fruit of the forbidden tree that he said, "You shall not eat." In Genesis 2, he said, "In the day that you eat of it, of that." So that day, death came into the world. That day, in their sin, physically they were still alive. Their bodies were still alive. But they were dead towards God. And from that day also, all mankind would be dead towards God, dead in their sin. And so man would be assigned to suffer two deaths. He would be assigned to suffer the physical death and spiritual death. Ezekiel 18:20 tells us, "The soul that sins, it shall die." And since all mankind were in sin, in their own actual sin and original sin through Adam, all men were assigned to die. Not just a physical death, but also the spiritual death in being alienated from God. And so the scripture here tells us in verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ." And the scripture calls his death and his resurrection the first fruits of the resurrection. Speaking about the first fruits of harvest time, those first harvesting moments when you first harvest the things that you have planted. And this is referring to the feast that Israel had before God. Often they were to give the first fruits of the harvest as an offering to God, as a sacrifice to God, to give Him glory and thanks for what He had done. And so Christ, in that sense, is the first fruit of this resurrection, the resurrection from the dead unto life. But though the Scripture here calls it and tells us twice, here in verses 20 and 23, that he was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Don't you know of other people in the Scriptures who are resurrected from the dead? Jesus resurrected Lazarus. Jesus raised a young man, the son of a widow, her only son, as he was being carried out, him from the dead. Two people in the Old Testament were raised from the dead by Elijah. But there's something different about their resurrection and this first fruit resurrection of Jesus Christ, different than those other ones who were raised from the dead. His resurrection was a down payment on our resurrection. He was the first to be in resurrected bodies. And so we are not those who only have hope in Christ in this life, as Paul said. We're not those who are just trusting in Christ, and when this life is over, there's no more of a relationship with Christ. We are not those men who are most pitiable. We are not that is empty, and we are not preaching a falsehood. Paul says this is the truth about Jesus Christ. He is the first fruit of the resurrection, which means there's something to come after that. Another resurrection, which is our resurrection, to follow. He is the first in order, and then we are to follow Him in our resurrection again. In all of them shall live again in resurrected bodies. So we have this eternal hope of following Christ in His resurrection. And just as He was raised to life, so shall we be raised to life forever. Just as Christ conquered death on the cross and through His resurrection, those who are in Christ, as the Scripture says here, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, at His coming, those who belong to Christ will experience this resurrection and this victory over death and never have to face death again, as Christ conquered death on the cross. And so this statement of Paul's brings us to a question. We have to ask this question. Are you united in resurrection? If so, you shall be raised again to new life. But if not, you will experience the second death. The Bible talks about this, and we'll look at this in just a minute, in the book of Revelation, where people are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, speaks of those who are resurrected to life and those who are resurrected to judgment. So the question is, which resurrection will you be experiencing? Because everybody will be resurrected. It's will you be resurrected to life or to the second death, the lake of fire, which is hell forever. For those who are in Christ, the Apostle Paul says here in these first three verses, your resurrection will be like his. It will come after his. It is not the resurrection of yours that is independent or alone, but it is united to Christ Jesus. And you must be united to Christ Jesus for that resurrection to be like his. To have that same kind of resurrection that will follow him. Well, Satan is the last enemy in verses 24 to 26. And the key words of this passage are, then comes the end. Look at verse 24. Then comes the end. What is the then? After Christ comes back at his coming and takes those who are in him to be with him, then comes the end. The end of what? The end of death. We still die the first death under the curse of sin, but death is ruling now over all things, people, and powers. When he comes back, and that's how it happens. When Christ returns and takes the dead and the living in Christ with him, death will be no more. Death is completely defeated. And this is the conclusion of Christ's redemptive work. When he comes back for his people, those who are dead and those who are living, and he takes them with him to be with him forever, his work of redemption is over. He then delivers the kingdom to his Father. And what is the kingdom but the people of God? It is not buildings and lands and things like that. It is the people whom he has died to save. He then returns these people, the kingdom of God, to God himself. And death is defeated as the last enemy. He'll put an end to all rule, all authority and power that opposes him. And this finds its roots in the demonic kingdom. All of this will be put to death, and death will be put, and death will itself will be no more. Death is the last. And that happens when Christ comes back. Now, Christ has defeated death. Death is subject to him as a result of his work on the cross, but that work is not completely finished yet. He's done everything to do it, but it's not culminated yet because he has to come back and take his people with him and put death to death. And Jesus delivers his people to the living God, and he delivers death to death. It will be no more. The Bible tells us in other places that Christ death. Revelation 1, 17 to 18 says, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I am death. Christ already has these things. Revelation 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Anybody that Christ comes back and Christ does not take with him will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And there they will remain. So in a real sense, death lives on for them, but not for the people of God. Not for those whom he has taken to give back. And Revelation 21:4 tells us, "And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away." When you are resurrected in your body, when Christ comes back to take the living and the dead with him who are in Christ, it will be to live forever, and death will be dead. It has no more power over anything. Thirdly, death is an enemy, and we see this in verses 27 to 28. Look there with me if you would, please. "For he has feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Here we have a reference to the Psalms where it says in verse 27, "He has put all things under his feet." He's talking about man in the original creation when he gave man authority over all the animals and all the creatures. But man lost that authority because of his fall and sin, because of death. And now Jesus Christ comes back and tells his apostles and tells us that all authority under heaven and earth has been given to him. All things now, verse 28, are made subject to the Son himself. But there's coming a day when Jesus will give that authority back to his Father, when he gives the kingdom of God back to his Father. And then Jesus will be subject to the Father as well, as the Scripture says here. But what all the purpose of all that is that God may be all and in all, that God will have finished his work of glorifying himself in all the world. Romans 11:36 tells us this, speaking of God, "For us are all forever and ever." There's coming a day when not only will death be dead, but we won't even be thinking about death. We won't be remembering the curse of death. We won't be remembering that ugly curse of death that hung around our necks all our life. Because we will be with God in his kingdom forever, and death has no place there. For God will be all and in all, and there is no death in God's presence. There'll be no more sin when there's no more death. There'll only be righteousness. There'll be no more death, but only life for God's people. And God will have finished his work of glorifying himself in the earth. But there will be death for those who reject Jesus Christ, God's gift of life. They will suffer that second death. And so as Revelation told us, "Is your name written in the book of life? Or will you be cast into the lake of fire," which is that second death? Asking that question, how do you know? How do you know if your name is written in the book of life? You know your name is written in the book of life if you are believing and trusting of Jesus Christ to be your resurrection, to be your payment to God for your sins. Then you can rest in him and know that as Christ was resurrected to life, so shall you be. That's how you know if your name is written in the book of life. And you will experience death no more. It will be the forgotten enemy. For all those in Christ, death will be destroyed forever when he comes back and returns and takes you to be with him. So I exhort you to make sure that your name is written in the book of life by believing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Be sure you are trusting in Christ's resurrection, in his death, and believing that he was raised on the third day. Because that's how death is put to death, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ is resurrected, as Paul says here in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. That's the fact. That's the truth. That's what so many scoffers of Christianity say. Right there is where Christianity falls to the ground. And right there, they're right. If there is no resurrection, then it's all a wash. But Paul says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And because he is, death is put to death. And those who are in Christ will follow him in the resurrection. Praise God for that. If you are part of Christ, if you are united to him, this is what you have to look forward to. No more death, but only life forever. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for these encouraging words. We thank you for giving the Apostle Paul these words to stand up and teach people the truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and therefore the truth about the resurrection for us as well. Lord, the resurrection was the theme of the message of the apostles. Help us, Lord, to make it the theme of our life, that we are living united to Christ, looking forward to that resurrection when death will be no more. And encourage us with these words, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.